And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world. In today's world, so many people are dealing with stress and anxiety, and there are many things that can cause stress, but some of the most common stressors we deal with are daily hassles like traffic jams, work overload, finances, marital arguments, or even other family problems. Well, it's just like flying through turbulence in a plane. When we're going through a rough patch, we have to just deal with it, and we do that with our stress. On today's episode, we're going to discuss thriving through turbulence, managing stress without surrender. And to help me with this discussion, I want to welcome my amazing friend, Jen. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is awesome to have you here. And this is such a great topic, especially we're recording this. I mean, we're long past this, but as we're recording this, we're right in the middle of the holiday season. And there is a ton of stress going on right now. Everybody's trying to meet deadlines. But now, as you're listening, it might be for you, we're starting the year out. We're trying to get things going. And everybody has stress. Everybody deals with it. Some of those things that I mentioned, you know, work overload, traffic, every day driving to work. The beautiful thing of telecommuting is we don't have traffic, right? But everybody has stress in their life. And I like the idea of thriving through the turbulence because we really have to learn how to manage stress. So I want to hear a little bit more about your story and how this topic truly resonates with you.
Yeah, let me tell you my story. But one of my doctors once basically told me, like, you're just too stressed out. And it's kind of an overused word today. And I don't think people understand what all the different kinds of stressors are and which ones are actually affecting us more than others. And I'll get into that in a little bit. My story. So I have always been an athlete living a healthy lifestyle. I did figure shows. I competed in CrossFit, Krav Maga. So I've always been very active. I've been a trainer and a health coach now for over 15 years, which was why when my body started to break down, I couldn't understand it. I had insomnia. I had horrible digestive issues. I wouldn't go to the bathroom for a week, constantly bloated. And I was eating healthy foods, vegetables. So why was I getting bloated? I was working out. I was doing everything you're, quote, supposed to do. I had debilitating brain fog, fatigue, hormone imbalance. I didn't have a period for 10 years. And I took that as, oh, I'm just an athlete. Like, this is normal. However, it wasn't normal. And then my physical body started to break down. I kept getting injured. I gained weight that I could not lose. I tried every diet under the sun. Like, I even did an all potato diet to try to, quote, fix myself because I read somewhere that that, you know, would help. It did not help, by the way. My journey took me 10 years. And the difference maker was not in the physical. It wasn't in the diet. It wasn't in the exercise or the supplements or the functional medicine. Like, yes, those things helped. It was my mindset. And your mindset is just the story that you're telling yourself. So we are with our thoughts, our language, our words all day long. And that is actually our biggest stressors. So only 10% of your mind is conscious. 90% of it is in the unconscious. And this is where our thoughts and our stories, we store emotional traumas, unprocessed traumas or emotions. And these things have a physical effect on our body. Once I learned more tools around mindfulness, once I processed the traumas that I had, once I resolved these big emotional blocks that I had, it unlocked healing and weight loss in my body. And honestly, I was eating worse and working out less when I started to lose weight, but I was so much more relaxed. I talked to myself different. I didn't beat myself up anymore. I had compassion for myself. And so now this is my mission and my message, right? Like, we're doing it wrong. Health and fitness, the industry today is eat less, move more. You hear mindset thrown around, but nobody's telling you how to do that. Like, what about our thoughts? What about our emotions? How do we process these things? So that's kind of my story. Brings us to today, where I live in a van. I'm in Baja, Mexico, living my best life.
I love that. I know. I really like your definition of mindset, because that's one of those buzzwords that everybody throws out there. Get your mindset right. Well, what is mindset? They're basically the thoughts that we tell ourselves. It's like my definition of psychology. You know, it has to do with what we tell ourselves, and it's looking at human behavior and our own behavior. For our psychology, for example, we all think things. We have thoughts that we think, but then those thoughts, what happens is those thoughts turn into feelings. And when we keep giving ourselves negative self-talk, we're going to start to feel bad. When we start with positive self-talk, maybe we'll get a little doubt, because maybe we doubt that positivity. But if we repeat it long enough and tell ourselves those things long enough, then we're going to start to feel good. And it's only when we change our feelings that that's going to change our actions. So basically, it's what we think turns into what we feel turns into what we act, and what we act on is what turns into what we actually get out of life. So that's kind of my formula.
This is why we get along so well, Tony. It's exactly what I teach. Thoughts to feelings to actions equals results.
Yes, bingo.
But how empowering is that? To get a different result, you just have to change your thoughts, your language. And we say thoughts, but we can't really control our thoughts, right? But we can choose to believe them.
Yes.
And we do that through our words, the words that we use to ourselves, about our life. For years, my words were, I'm sick. Nothing ever works for me. I have digestive issues. And these seemingly common and inconsequential statements first became my story, then they became my identity. And Tony Robbins says the strongest force in the human personality is the need to remain consistent with how we see ourselves, our identity. And so for the 10-year period, I kept trying to change what I was doing to get a different result, but my identity was wrapped up in this programming with the thoughts and the language and the words I was using. And so I wasn't getting the change. Fast forward, I changed the thoughts and the words and the language, and I get the results.
And I just love language. I mean, it has so many uses in the world. I mean, I use it in sales. I use it in motivation. I use it in just helping myself and, you know, my clients to go through different things. And it's funny, identity. That's really interesting, because how many people identify with negative things in their life. And the example is, let's say you're at a party, you're meeting different people, and everyone is introducing themselves. And what's the first thing that they say? Well, what do you do? And how do they respond? If you're an accountant, you don't usually say, well, I do accounting. No, you usually say, I'm an accountant. So you identify as an accountant. So we'll take that to a different level. Let's say you're not working right now. I'm unemployed. Or I'm disabled. No, you're not. You're a person. You're a great individual who is going through a period of unemployment, or you're working as an X or a Y, or you're going through a period of disability, but you're not, that's not your identity. I think that's one of the first things that I try to teach my clients is, you got to change your identity. Now, when you're trying to embrace like a new career and a new world, then I'll tell people, say, I'm an entrepreneur. Identify with that. Step out and do that. But if that identity is holding you back, change your identity. So I just love that. I think that's a great point that you brought up.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm launching my first course here. It's called Keep the Commitment in January. One of my sections is on identity, helping what's for women understand the identity that they're holding on to that's bleeding into their behaviors every day. And then I teach them how you change that.
Yeah.
And the first step of that, Tony, is number one, decide who you want to be. What's working for you? What's not working for you? Give me three words that describe how you want to feel, show up, be. And then we can
Decide.
talk about what actions. Yeah, it's all about deciding. That's how I ended up in van life. It was literally a moment in time where I decided it was going to happen. And in that moment, I had no job. I had no van, had no idea where the van was going to come from, how to build a van, where to get a van, how to live on my own, you know. But I made the decision that it would happen. And the steps and the actions followed through. And by the end of that year, here we are.
You know, in my last episode, you bring up decision. And of course, I have a talk about the power of decision that I do, because everything starts with a decision in our life. And I interviewed a woman, and it was, like I said, just the last episode. If you haven't checked it out yet, it's worth checking out. She lost not only her best friend, but two children, all within a 3-year period. And these are like very young children after they were born. And she said, she had to make a decision whether she was going to live and move forward or to stop living. And it started with a decision. And that no matter what part you are in life, no matter what hole you're dug into, no matter what pit you may be in, you need to decide that it's time to get out of the pit. It's time to start living and find a reason to go forward. And I think that is huge. The other thing is, have you heard of cursing? I'm not talking about like bad words. I'm talking about like the wizard puts a curse on the prince and
Oh.
he turns him into a frog.
Yeah, I
Do
think about Harry
that.
Potter.
Yes, we do that though with our words. Every
Yes.
time we say, I'm not the kind of person who, you're putting a curse on yourself. Every time you say, I can't do that, when you say that, the word can't, you're putting a curse on yourself. You're limiting yourself. So stop cursing yourself and start recognizing that the words you say, maybe walk around with a recorder. I mean, we've got these phones that we carry around with us, and you can just get one of those little voice recorders and just throw it on when you're having a conversation sometime and play it back and listen to some of the words you say and the words you tell yourself. It's a real eye opener when you do that.
Yeah, the definition of a spell is a word or a combination of words of great influence. And statements like, I'm lazy, nothing ever works for me, I'm not good enough, these are combinations of words of great influence. They make us, they influence how we feel. They create an emotion. And that emotion, like we said, leads into our actions, which gets us our results. And so we've got to shift the narrative, shift the story. Change the words. I'm going to play a quick little word game to kind of see how our language makes us feel.
Let's go for it.
So, I would like for you to tell me one of your goals, upcoming goals for the year, a personal or professional goal, just in a complete sentence.
One of my goals for 2024 is 24 in 24. And what I mean by that is 24 speaking gigs in 2024.
Awesome. So, I want 24 speaking gigs in 2024.
Yes.
So put a hopefully in that sentence somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, I'll get the 24 speaking gigs in 2024.
And what does that do to this statement?
Yeah, it completely changes the meaning because
Exactly.
now you're coming from it from a hoping space. And when you're in that hoping space, I mean, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope that this person will like me. I hope that this dinner will turn out good. There's no confidence in hoping.
Yeah, we call certain words soft talk words. Hopefully, try, maybe, might, kind of. There's a whole list of them. I have a soft talk challenge that I can include with the show notes. Maybe that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Where these words create confusion in the brain. I might go to the gym tomorrow. Are you going to the gym? Or you might go to the gym. We use them to create an out for ourselves. Because that way we won't feel bad if we don't go to the gym. However, when we throw those words in there, we're already telling our brain, it's not a big deal if I don't go. We need to be decisive. It builds our confidence. So simply removing these soft talk words from our language can increase our self-confidence tenfold. We just can't be afraid of the fear of not following through. If you don't, doesn't mean you're bad. You just take a look at what happened and how can I change that going forward? No shame,
Yes.
no guilt, no beating yourself up. Move forward from
Move forward. Yeah, exactly. I love that because that's exactly what we do. You know, we say, you know, well, maybe I'll do this. Yeah, I really should do this. That's another word that we need to eliminate from our vocabulary is that word should. I should do this. Well, then just do it. Stop shooting all over yourself and go out and do it.
Totally. Yeah.
So let's take this to a different level. So let's say, let's get back into your previous world of fitness, weight loss, getting more energy. So what do you say, you know, to somebody who just wakes up in the morning and just says, you know, I feel like I don't have the energy I used to have. So what would you do in the case of someone who gave you that statement?
This is exactly why I built this coaching program. I like to talk about, I use an onion analogy, especially with energy, because there's so many things that can affect our energy. We've got to start to remove layers of issues that are causing our health and our weight to kind of be stuck. And that can feel hard and overwhelming when you're in the beginning, you don't have energy, it's not your profession, you don't know where to go. So number one, look into investing in a coach. I say this as a coach, I've hired coaches in all areas of my life because I know the value. Could I do it myself? Sure, there's so much information online now. I could spend the hours looking things and researching programs and things. It's much better, faster for me to go to somebody who's done it before, who has a proven system that can take me through it. Again, especially when you're in the beginning of this journey and you're overwhelmed, you're frustrated, you've likely tried a bunch of things before, so you're feeling hopeless. You need to have a plan to systematically remove some of these stressors that are keeping you stuck with that low energy. And I'll tell you, like, yes, gratitude is great, grounding, getting outside, eating healthy, moving your body, all of these things are great. But the thing that is keeping us locked in the stress response more often than not is our words. It's our language. It's every time you pass a mirror, oh, I'm so fat. Oh, I have nothing to wear. I can't go to the beach because I don't want to be in a bathing suit. What is so-and-so going to think of me? All of these, we repeat these things to ourselves so often throughout the day. It's keeping you locked in that stress state, fight or flight, where healing doesn't happen, weight loss doesn't happen. The body is taking all of its energy and resources to make stress hormones, cortisol, this whole cascade of hormones to help us get out of stress. And it's slowing digestion. It's slowing hormone production. It's affecting all of these other systems, which means you're not getting all the energy from the food that you're eating. So you're exhausted. Now you're not sleeping well. Now your hormones are off, which just all starts to make each one worse. And so we've got to change the soft. We've got to change the programming, the words that we're using, our belief that we can get better. The first module in my course is all about belief, because if you don't believe healing is possible, if you don't believe you can get more energy, if you don't believe it will work for you, it won't.
Absolutely.
And so we
right.
have to start there.
Absolutely right. You have to believe it. Yeah. It's because if you don't believe it, it definitely won't work. And I like how you brought this back into the topic today, being managing stress and stress without surrender, because our words are what gives us stress in most of these situations. I'll give you the example. Someone is on their way to work and they hit a big patch of traffic. And I don't know about you, Jen, but I've always been someone who hated traffic. I mean, I just used to get so much anxiety and stress, you know, and somebody cuts me off and you just get all that anxiety. But here's the thing. You have to learn, you know, we talk about this as stress without surrender, but I think there is a type of surrendering that we have to do. We have to surrender to the fact that we cannot control this. And as human beings, and me especially as a male, we want to control everything. We're control freaks, okay? We want to control what's happening. So when we get into that stressful situation of traffic that we can't control, we're like, oh, the first step is to realize that I can't control this. So what can I do? What can I control? Well, I can control what I tell myself, and I can control how I feel about it. So one of the things that I like to do is I'm always listening to self-development things in my car. I love music as much as the next guy, but I'm usually listening to an audio book or a podcast or maybe a YouTube video, not watching the video, of course, but listening to it where they're doing some type of training or something that I'm interested in, where I'm personally getting myself developed better. What I'll tell myself, oh, this traffic, life happens for us, not to us, something that Tony Robbins taught me. Life happens for us. So this traffic is here because there's something on this CD or this audiobook or whatever I'm listening to that I need to hear. And if I wasn't stuck in this traffic, I wouldn't hear it. So that's kind of a reframe. But what I'm doing is I'm taking that situation and I'm turning it from a bad thing or something that I see as bad, changing my language to making it into something good. Does that make sense?
Totally. So I'll tell you how I reframe that. It's kind of
Okay.
funny. So when I started to really learn just how much stress affected my physical health, when I was starting to make that realization, it became important to me to let stressors go that I couldn't control, like you're talking about. So things like traffic were one of those. That's a scenario, like you said, I can't control it. Getting mad only hurts me. It doesn't hurt the other guy. Now I'm getting sicker because I'm letting, his actions. So instead of someone cuts me off and I'm like, you a-hole, like you're just a jerk. In my head, I'm thinking, you know what? That guy probably has to go to the bathroom so bad. He's like clenching his butt cheeks. He cannot wait for three more exits when he has to get to work. So you know what, buddy? You go ahead. I've been there before. And it just kind of makes you smile instead of thinking like, instead of getting all anxious, right? Because
Yeah.
let it go. What's it for?
That is so huge. We have to learn how to let things that we can't control, we have to let those things go. And I know it's hard. Some things are very hard to let go. But for the most part, I mean, it's like right now, every time I drive past a gas station and look at the price of gas and see how much it's been going up, but I've got to buy that gas no matter what. I can't control it. Is it going to help me to get all bent out of shape about the price? No, I'm just going to have to pay for it. Now, maybe if I say, you know what, the price of gas is getting really high, I'm going to have to do things to control my driving. Maybe I'll drive a little bit less, or I'll change my behavior in certain areas. So maybe look up constructive things to deal with that situation, but it doesn't help us to get all upset. In fact, the more upset we get, the worse we feel, and then it's just going to ruin our whole day. So other ways, we talk about thriving through turbulence, and turbulence is another way of saying that sometimes the road is rocky, right? So what ways can we really not only navigate through the turbulence, but thrive through it?
This is where I'd like to talk about never giving up. My journey, as I mentioned, was a 10-year journey. I tried so many diets. I hired so many doctors. I saw functional medicine doctor, chiropractors, integrative medicine, Western medicine, like you name it, I tried it. I spent so much money on supplements and protocols. I would see a little bit of success. And I would end up sliding back either to where I started, if not even farther down the road. But I didn't give up. I never lost hope. That's not true. There were definitely moments where I was like, this isn't working. It's hopeless. This is just going to be my life. I'm never going to be able to lose weight. I will never not have digestive issues. But something kept pulling me back. This like inner pull was like, no, you can heal. The answer is out there. Don't stop. Because I know what it's like to have tried 10,000 diets and then you see another protocol out there and you're like, ooh, that one sounds different. It's a different trainer or different this. But that voice inside your head is like, you've tried it all. It's not going to work. Except you didn't try it at this point in your life where you are right now. Every single thing that you do, every single challenge or setback or failure or struggle has its purpose. It's there to teach you something. We don't learn when things are going well. We learn and grow through the hard times, the failures, the struggles, the challenges. When we make those failures mean we are a failure, we identify with it, Now we stop moving forward. We give up, we throw our hands up, it's hopeless, I'm a failure, nothing works for me. Shift that mindset. This didn't work. Do I know why it didn't work? If I'm honest with myself, how strictly did I stick to the protocol? Because I know for me, every time I tried a new diet or a new plan, I came with a little less consistency because in the back of my head, my belief was it's not going to work. So I didn't show up quite as much. And when I started to get really honest with myself about that, instead of blaming the doctor or the program or the supplement or the trainer, I was like, well, if I'm really honest with myself, I didn't stick to it exactly. This is what I was feeling. And then continue to search for answers because they are out there. You just have to find the right program or it has to be the right time. But everything you're doing is taking away a little bit of a layer. It's adding a tool to your tool belt. It's helping you for your set you up for your next plan or protocol or whatever that you're going to do. So it all has its purpose.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, yeah. And there's a couple of things that I want to pick out of there. First off, your mindset going into that, if you don't believe it's going to work, it's not.
Yep.
That is the first thing. So whenever you do something, you need to go into it with the idea that it is going to work. I mean, why would you do something that you don't think is going to work? If somebody gave you medication, because say you've got a horrible, horrible headache, and you know someone says, here, I've got some pain relief, acetaminophen or whatever, here, take this. Well, if you don't believe it's going to work, then why bother even taking it? Because it probably won't. The other thing is learning. And I think the mistake that people make in life is they become invested in the outcome, right? This has to happen. This must work. If it doesn't work, it's a failure. No.
Right.
Start becoming interested in the outcome, become invested in the learning. Because the more we learn, it's like going back to Thomas Edison when he was trying to make the light bulb and blew up his laboratory for, you know, after like 10,000 tries, he still hadn't made it. And they would say, well, how come he didn't give up? Well, no, he says, I just have 10,000 ways I know not to make this light bulb.
Totally.
So I'm just going to keep trying. So become invested in the learning. Invested in your skills and your skill set, you get better and better, and then become interested in the outcome, because the more we learn, the more chance we have of achieving that outcome. So I think that's great. But again, it all goes back to, what do you believe? Do you believe that you're going to be able to do this? Do you believe that this turbulence that you're going through is just temporary? Do you understand that? Or are you going to sit there and go, oh, I'm never going to find a job, just like you said before, or I'm never going to lose this weight. And then you get all stressed out about it. No, you know, I'm going to figure this out. What I tried before didn't work, but I'm going to try this now. And I'm going to go into this new thing with the belief that, yes, it's going to work.
I think when you talk about being invested in the outcome, the reason for that is because we feel like we need the outcome to be happy. And this was me, right? In my 10 years, like I said, I had insomnia, digestive issues, all these things. All I cared about was losing weight. All I really wanted, if I'm honest, like, yes, digestion sucked. Hormones were out of bounds. All I wanted was to lose weight. In my mind, if I lost weight, I would be happy and all my other problems were going to go away. So I hyper-focused on it. And if something didn't work, 2 weeks into it, 3 weeks into it, I wasn't seeing results, that plan didn't work. That doctor didn't know what he was talking about. These supplements aren't fixing me. But it's not about fixing you. You're not broken. Our bodies don't do things wrong. It's talking to you. It's telling you it's out of balance. Things need to change. And it's not the doing that needs to change. It's the being. We have to become a different person. We need to change our thoughts, the story that we're telling ourselves, which affects our feelings, which affects our actions, which gets us our results.
Yeah, it's the story that starts in the brain, those thoughts. And the story we tell ourselves, because we all tell ourselves different stories. And a lot of the things come way back, and, you know, not to get super deep here, but some of these things go back to our childhood. And before we were even to the age of consciousness, these stories got implanted from other people. And one of the things that I will say is to stop letting the people who lived before you and how they lived dictate the life that you live. because that's really what we're letting ourselves do. We're letting these beliefs that get into our system. You know, we're not sick. We won't be successful unless we do X, Y, and Z, because X, Y, and Z equals success. No, not necessarily. Success is doing what you want to do and enjoying your life, right? And it doesn't have to do with making a certain amount of money or looking a certain way. You get to define it. And that's the really cool part, Jen, is we get to define what our success is, and we get to tell ourselves the story. And when we change our story, we get to write our new life story, and that's how we can change our life completely.
Totally. And the one-on-one work I do around mindset now is just exactly what you talked about. So the thing is, we're not aware of our beliefs. We're not aware of these unconscious programs that are running our behaviors and the way that we feel every day, because we're living in fight or flight and we're just responding to our days. We're so overwhelmed. We're so frustrated. We're running around. So we're not even aware that when you got picked last for softball in, you know, kindergarten, you made that mean you're not good enough. And now that is a pair of lenses that you're wearing, and it shapes everything that you see in life. And so the one-on-one work I do, we have a shared Google Doc. And just through conversation, I never tell people what to do. I always just ask questions. We find these emotionally charged events. Either they can be big T traumas, you know, murder, rape, like not feeling safe, like these things we think of as trauma, or they're highly emotionally charged events, like getting picked last in gym class. Like, you can create a lot of emotion around that for you, depending on what meaning you attach to that. And so we find these memories, these stories, which time doesn't exist to the emotional body. So our emotions, we feel those emotions today, just like they just happened in our childhood. And we do a four-step process on it. So we write it out like you're telling a story. We read it slowly, and then we read it adding breath, a good deep breath. And basically what it does is it takes the story from right in front of your face, I'm living in it, it's affecting me today, to objectively looking at it. Yes, this happened. This is what I made that mean. This is how it's affected my life. And now I'm going to choose a different story.
Making that choice too, choosing the different story. You know, I love that analogy too. You know, maybe you were picked last in gym class. That's something that you wouldn't even think about now, but really it's something that is affecting you because it's making you feel like you're not good enough. When that promotion mm-hmm. comes at work, you're thinking, oh, I mean, you don't mentally go through this process in your head and go, oh, well, back in second grade, I was picked last for the softball team. So therefore, it means that I won't get this promotion. You don't think those thoughts, but subconsciously, they're all in the back of your mind. So I think it's great that you go back and you find these things and you extract them and say, okay, what is this? This is something that happened in the past. How is that affecting you today? Should it affect you today? Well, no, it has nothing to do with what's going on today. This has nothing to do with what I'm doing at work. Well, then why don't you just move it away? And another cool thing that I like to do is, have you ever seen the movies like the Avengers movies or Iron Man? Or these movies where you get Tony Stark, another Tony. There's Tony Robbins, and there's Tony Stark, and then there's me.
And Tony the Tiger, we talked about him.
Yes, Tony the Tiger. That's right. That's my moniker. Yes, exactly. Well, Tony Stark would build these three-dimensional models in space in front of him. But you know why they do that, Jen? Because that's how our neurology works. We place little filing cabinets all over in front of us, and we get to move and manipulate those things around. And it's amazing how we can control our emotions. And I'll give you a great example. Okay. I want you to think of a time in your life where something happened and it was really devastating to you. And then when you got it, I want you to, first impression, point to where you feel it in your body. You don't tell me what it is or anything. Like, okay, so you point to where you feel it. Now, with your inner eyes, look at it like it's a color. And what color do you see?
Blue.
Blue. Okay, so I want you to put that blue color, and a picture of that situation in front of you right now, and point to where you see it. Where is it in space in front of you?
Back there.
It's back there. Okay, well, that's cool, because you put it behind you. So it's not in front of you anywhere. Now, I want you to reach back and grab it and pull it back in front of you and hold it like a picture frame. Now, how do you feel? Did the feeling change?
Well, I've already done a lot of work around this event. So I don't know if that changes it.
That's why it's behind you. But
Yeah.
okay, but now it's in front of you. So do you feel any different?
No.
No. Make it bigger. Make the picture bigger.
Make the picture bigger.
Yeah. How about now?
Does it feel different than when it did in the beginning?
Yes.
No, but it didn't feel devastating in the beginning either, to be fair.
Okay, so this is something that you've already dealt with. So it's probably not the best example, but normally
Yeah.
when you do things like this, all right, you can put it back behind you now. If you don't, then it'll still be lingering in front of you, and later all of a sudden you'll get these weird feelings. This happens. So what I usually do when I'm working with people in this using this particular tool is you find out what happens when you make it bigger, when you make it smaller, when you pull it towards you, when you push it away from you. And then what you eventually do, if it's something you want more of, you just make it bigger and make it surround you like a warm blanket. And you'll feel a better feeling. This is something positive. But if it's something negative you want to get rid of, then you shrink it down very tiny to like the size of a dime, crumple it up and throw it again behind you, which is exactly where it was. And then I always imagine somebody closing one of those big vault doors, bam, slamming it shut. So you know where it is. You've just filed it in a different place, because most of us are walking around with those memories in front of us, and we need to move those things. And the other thing that sometimes we can do is sometimes they're right in front of us because there's a lesson that we have to learn from that. We talked about learning before. So what's the lesson? Transitioning back to what you said, when you're working with people, when they talk about these things in their life that have happened, what is the lesson that they have to learn from that? Because once they extract the learning, again, be invested in the learning, not the outcome. Once they figure out what they should learn from this, then it makes it easier for them to put it behind them. And that's why we use words like get over something, put it behind you, get past it. Where does that put it in your physiology? Behind you. It's not right in front of you. It's not staring right at you. So anyway, that's a little deep NLP versus physiology analogy, but those things are just really fun to play with. And it's so amazing how our mind works. And to me, how our brain
totally.
Works. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll give you a personal example if you want.
Would love it.
So the memory I was thinking about, because I was going to tell the story before you had said that, which I've done a lot of work on. Anyways, I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And when we were kids, every night going to bed, they would fight my sister and my brother, you know, with my mom, lay with me, no, lay with me. Like each one wanted her to lay with them. And I was always I was the oldest. And so I always just would go to bed and I wouldn't say anything. Well, one day I was like, why don't you lay with me? And she kind of laughed and she was like, you're my independent one. You don't need me. Well, I cried myself to sleep that night because I heard, I don't love you as much as them. You're unlovable. Like that's the story I created around that event. And before I did work on it, like that affected and shaped all of my relationships because I had this feeling of I'm unlovable. And so when I showed up in a relationship, I would try to morph myself into whatever my partner wanted because I needed to be what he wanted me to be lovable. And my lesson from that is just, I love me and that's enough. Yes, I want a partner. Yes, I want to be loved, but I don't need to change who I am for that, right?
Yeah.
My mom didn't mean she doesn't love me. She meant it as she saw me as just an independent, you know, young woman. But I made that mean something else. And that affected my relationships, like I said, in my young adult life.
So many people are dealing with stress because they have these expectations just like that. And I think what you gave is a great example. You know, the important thing is that you love yourself. And so many people are looking to get validation from other people in their life, right? Like that relationship, if they're not loved by someone else, then their value is somehow less. And that is the biggest lie that we could ever tell ourselves. We love ourselves. You know, if you have faith, God loves you. The important things, right? It doesn't matter. And if a person doesn't love you for who you are, then guess what? What do you tell them? Next, move on, go to the next one. But we get hung up. We get hung up in those things, in wanting everyone to like us or to love us. And when we realize that we'll start attracting the right people in our life when we truly love ourselves, when we truly believe in ourselves. And I think managing stress in our life, I think that is a a huge part of it. Learning to love yourself and telling yourself that you deserve it. You deserve happiness. You deserve love and success in your life. So this has been a really great discussion.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, if you can think of three things, and I kind of wrap this down because I know you and I, we could probably pull out a bottle of wine and sit and chat for like another couple hours on this topic and probably many others, but we're getting to that time and I always try to respect the listener's time here. So three simple things based on either what we talked about today or maybe something else that pops into your mind that we can help those listening manage the stress in their life so that they can go through the next week and really feel like their life has changed and they don't have to deal with this turbulence and stress.
So I'm going to say these three things, and I want you to, if you're listening, try my soft talk word, not to bring in any past feelings or notions around what I'm going to say. Because when I first heard these things, I was like, that's not what I need. That's not what I need. It's too woo woo or too whatever. It's hippie stuff. That's not for me. And these are the things that actually moved the needle for me that really started to change my life. And the first one being gratitude. Having a regular gratitude practice. Simply think about one thing you're grateful for every day. When I was in the thick of my journey, I was stuck in a victim mentality, this victim mindset, negative mindset. I was hyper-focused on everything that was going wrong and bad and everything in my life. And I got more of the same. Like attracts like. I kept hearing about gratitude. I poo-pooed it for a while, but it kept showing up in my life. And so one day I was like, all right, I'll give this gratitude thing a try. And within a month of simply, I set an alarm on my phone so it would go off every morning and ask me what I was grateful for. And I would just think it. Within a month, I noticed I was sleeping better. I was happier. My digestion wasn't as bad. Just by adding, thinking about things I was grateful for. And at first, I'll be honest, I crossed my arms and was like, I'm not grateful for anything. Today sucked. My stomach hurt. You know, you want to pout. But I forced myself. And once I got past the, I'm grateful for my cat and my house and electricity, it started to be the bird that, you know, flew by me today that I thought was beautiful, or the flower that I saw that I walked by for 6 months and never saw before, or whatever. These things started to make me happy. So gratitude's number one. Number two, breathing. So breathing, like really slowing down our breath. A good kind of basic count is inhale for four, exhale for eight. When your exhales are longer than your inhales, it's calming and relaxing to the body and the nervous system. The breathing is the only way we can shift, like consciously shift from more of a fight or flight to a parasympathetic rest and digest state is with our breathing. Make it a practice, whether it's in the, usually the morning and the night are the best times to do stuff like that because you have more control of your morning and your evening. When we put things in the middle of the day, they tend to get overrun, especially if it's a new habit. Maybe it's every morning you start with five deep breaths. Like make it so stinking easy that you can't not do it. And then build from there. So we got gratitude, breathing. For the third one, I'm just going to put out there, go for a walk outside. So nature is so healing. And being in the sun, if it's sunny where you are, I know you've got snow on the ground, we talked, but just being outside helps calm and relax our nervous system. So each of these is meant to help rebalance your nervous system, take you from that state of fight, flight, freeze, where your body doesn't heal, you're not going to lose weight, where you feel stuck, you're overwhelmed, you're frustrated, you can't see solutions to your problems, to a place where you slow down a little bit, appreciate where you are. You can then start to hear your thoughts, hear the words you're saying, because you're not going to hear those when you're stuck in a fight or flight. And when you feel a little bit more calm and relaxed, all of a sudden the problems that seem so big and overwhelming don't seem that big and overwhelming. And you're able to take better action, which gets you your results.
Love it. And I love how you started with gratitude. I'll tie this up a little bit, but I have a very similar thing that I work with all my clients with. And I call it the 3x5 card method. And I take out an old fashioned, you know, 3x5 index card. And you write down on the card at night before you go to bed, three things that you're truly grateful for. And the first three things that pop into your mind, whatever they may be, and just like what you said, you know, maybe you heard a bird in the, and you saw something beautiful, or just the fact that you're sleeping in a warm bed, and millions and billions of people in the world are not at this point. So simple things that you're grateful for. They could be big things too, you know, the birth of a child, whatever. But write down three things, the first that come to your mind. And it's something about writing it down, pen to paper. Don't just do this like on a laptop or anything, just or on your phone. Write it down on a 3x5 card. The other side of the card, now you write down the three most important things you have to do the next day. And not like go to the grocery store or pick up the laundry or something like that. No, they have to be related to making your life a better life, succeeding in your business, whatever they be. Three most important things. Take a look at it. Circle the most important. Now you've downloaded. Because now those things aren't going to be coming to your mind at night because you've written them down. When you write them down on paper, it downloads them. And then you turn the card back over to gratitude and you go to bed. In the morning when you wake up, first thing you do, pick up the card and spend 1 minute reflecting on each of those things. So for 3 minutes total. And people say, well, I don't have time for that. Well, if you don't have 3 extra minutes in your day, then you take the card when you're already feeling much better, just like you said, because you're in that gratitude. And when you're in gratitude, it's very difficult, almost impossible to be angry or anxious or stressed or anything. Mm-hmm. Focus on the gratitude. Turn the card over and take that thing that you circled and do it first thing. And you'll be surprised at just this simple thing will completely change the trajectory of your life. So, and I love the breathing and taking a walk, although in Rochester, it's a little tough sometimes to take a walk outside, like you mentioned, with the snow, the cold, and you mentioned this thing called a sun. Yeah, we see that maybe 3-4 times a year up here. But
I grew up in Chicago. I get it. Yeah.
But that's where traveling comes into play. And I think if you could add a fourth thing, if you can this year, go someplace that you've never been to before and explore the world. I think that'll make a huge difference. Jen, this has been truly amazing. If people were interested in reaching out to you, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook mostly. This is the next Jen, J-E-N. So I think we'll link that. Yeah, those are the places where you can message me. I respond to all my messages. I have an email list. Maybe I can put the link for that if you want to stay in touch and get my weekly newsletter.
Awesome. That would be great. I'll put those links in the podcast notes. And before we close out today, I will ask you the question I ask all my guests on the show, and that is simply this. What does being purposely positive mean to you?
I like this question. So if there's one thing that my journey has taught me, it's how our thoughts shape our reality. And for a very long time, those thoughts for me were focused on the negative and what wasn't working, and I kept drawing more of that into my life. So today I'm very intentional about my thoughts. I'm intentional about a gratitude practice, reframing things. So we talked about the traffic. If somebody cuts me off, I don't instantly think he's a jerk. I think, you know what? There's got to be a good reason why he's driving like that. I do also want to say here that being positive all the time isn't realistic. So I think when we talk about like positive thinking and always being positive, people, it can get annoying. Especially if you're in the middle of a tough healing journey or a tough place right now, you're like, oh, I can't be positive all the time. Like, but that's not realistic. And I'm not, right? I never want to portray that I'm always happy, always positive, sun's always shining. I allow myself to feel certain emotions, anxiety, worry, even some fear. I just don't get stuck there anymore. I don't let those thoughts run away. I will acknowledge, I will sit with it sometimes for a whole day if that's the mood I'm in. And then I always reflect back. Okay, what happened? What was the story I was telling myself that led to that fear or anxiety? And can I tell that story a different way to make me feel a different way? Because I'm very aware of how my thoughts create my feelings and then how I show up in life is based on that. So being purposefully positive, it's just about being aware. Awareness is always the first step of my thoughts and choosing to direct them in a more positive way when I can.
Yes. And everything starts with those choices to direct those things in our life. Because just like you said, we've got this thing, toxic positivity, where, oh yeah, everything is great. Well, no, we're going to go through things in life that aren't great, but it's choosing to recognize what positivity there is and when we can choose it, but at the same time, not ignoring those events that happen that aren't so positive, but not staying there and moving from them and making that decision to move out of them, which I really love. Okay. I think that's great. Jen, again, this has been amazing, and we're definitely going to have another conversation. I'll have you back sometime soon, but I just want to thank you for being on today, and I'm looking forward to further discussions.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there wondering, how can I manage stress and anxiety in my life? I have a free resource. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive. You can download it, and it'll help you through those wake-up call moments in life where you can start living a purposely positive life.